Well, I can honestly say it's great to see all of you here today. It's been a while, so we're grateful that this is occurring, and hopefully over the coming weeks we'll be able to open up to even more people. So bless you one and all in taking time to be here today. You know how wonderful it is that as we gather together on this Pentecost Sunday, that it can be the beginning of us gathering together and being with each other again, and it's a great blessing. An American and an Englishman were viewing the Niagara Falls whirlpools when one of them said to the other, "Come and I'll show you the greatest unused power of the world." He took him to the foot of Niagara Falls, and then he said, "This is the greatest unused power in the entire world." His friend replied, "Not so. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God." And as we gather here today on Pentecost Sunday, I think it's a wonderful story that illustrates for each one of us the truth that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that was over creation at the beginning of the world, part of the creative force, and continues to be a very powerful presence for those who are open to the Spirit, is the greatest unused force in the world. So my question for us today on this Pentecost Sunday is, do you have a vision for the Spirit's power in your life? And if you don't, are you at least open to experiencing how the Spirit can come upon you, maybe in ways that are fresh and new, maybe in ways that you've never experienced before, and being open to that? You know, as we gather today to celebrate Pentecost, it actually is a celebration that finds its roots in Israel. Israel observed Pentecost 50 days after Passover, and it was a glorious day of celebration when people offered praise and thanks to God for a number of different things. One of them was celebrating the Exodus, how God had delivered them out of the bondage that they were in Egypt. Also the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. They also were celebrating the harvest. The very name Pentecost means first fruits. And so first fruits were the tithe the Israelites were to give to God. And so as we gather together on this Pentecost Sunday, we're reminded of that first Pentecost day when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And if you will, that coming of the Spirit upon the church were the first fruits of the church age. As the Holy Spirit came upon the church and empowered them in that moment, the church was ushered into a whole new way of living by the power of God. In fact, the Pentecost is often referred to as the birthday of the church. And I think that's a very wonderful way to remember it. So on that first Pentecost Sunday, on that first Pentecost day, God gave a gift of the first fruits to the church in the person of the Holy Spirit. So not only was God giving a gift to the church in the Holy Spirit, but God was also empowering the church in that moment to be a gift of first fruits to the world, to be a people that would bear witness to what it would be like to be a Pentecostal people, a people that are filled with the Holy Spirit and witnessing to Him. And so as we look at the lesson today in Acts, we're reminded that the prophet Joel spoke about it thousands of years earlier, that as God came upon the prophet Joel, the Spirit of God revealed to him that this day was going to happen, that there was going to be a mighty outpouring of the Spirit. People were going to be given vision and dreams. They're going to be able to speak in other languages and tongues. And so this reality in Acts 2 is a witness to that prophecy. And so we notice on this Pentecost, in the story that we read in Acts, that first of all, the Holy Spirit is powerful. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you or upon a group of people, you're going to know it happened. I don't know about you, but over the past few days, as I've been sound asleep, tired, enjoying my rest, I've been awakened at times by the thunder and the lightning and the storms that have been coming through. We've had some really strong storms lately. And so those storms, when they come through, they're announcing, "Hey, I'm here." Whether it's 2 or 3 in the morning, you're waking up, because I'm not going to come moseying through this area without you respecting the reality of my presence. And you know, the Holy Spirit is the same way. It says that it was the sound of a blowing wind, like a violent wind. And so again, as the Holy Spirit comes into your life and into the lives of the church and into the people you're with, you're going to know the Spirit's presence. You're going to be able to tell the Holy Spirit has shown up, because the Holy Spirit is powerful and has a movement in its presence that touches your life and makes you aware that the Spirit is present. Also, one of the things we read in Pentecost on this special day is that the Spirit is present on everyone. It says that everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit and that there were actually tongues of fire on them. And again, as you look at the scripture, fire is one of the signs of the Spirit of God. It talks about God being a consuming fire in Hebrews. It talks about the reality about how the Holy Spirit, again, moved over creation, moved over the waters at the very beginning, and was part of God's creative force. Can you imagine the power and the energy that was required in order to form this beautiful world that we're a part of? A lot of power, a lot of energy that still keeps it going. And so that was a reality that was spoken on of. Also, it was what we see on Pentecost is that the Spirit prevailed. Thank God. That's something each one of us should be praying for in our own lives and in the life of our church and in the life of our world right now. The Holy Spirit needs to prevail. Because right now, I would submit to you, there's another spirit that's prevailing, and we're seeing the fruit of it, and I don't like it. I don't want to have any part of it. And we're part of another spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we see this in Pentecost, people speaking in tongues. You know, like we heard today, aren't these men Galileans? What are they doing speaking in our language? During this festival of Pentecost, people would gather from all over the world into Jerusalem. And as the Spirit came upon the disciples, they began to proclaim the gospel in a moving way such that people in other languages could understand the gospel. So can you imagine a lot of these Galileans, a lot of these disciples were speaking in languages. They didn't even know the language. But the Holy Spirit empowered them to be able to speak that language, and the people around them understood it and were powerfully touched by it. You know, as the Holy Spirit comes upon you and me, there might be that ability, again, to speak in a language that we've never had before. But I will just say this. Also, the Holy Spirit can give you the language, the words to communicate to a granddaughter or grandson, or maybe one of your own family members in a language that they can understand about Jesus. Now, that's a miracle too, right? Sometimes when you talk to them about Lord, their eyes go cross-eyed. It's like you're speaking in a foreign language, right? Well, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit can be on you and enable you to say exactly what they need to hear and in a way that they can understand. I remember when I was in Israel with St. John's a number of years ago, we had a chance to visit the Garden Tomb, which is one of two places that they say where Jesus was buried. And so as we were walking through the Garden Tomb, very beautiful area over a number of acres. And as you walk through the Garden Tomb, there are different pavilions where different groups can have communion services, they can have a worship service, or they can just gather together and rest a little bit while they're there. And as I was walking along this path in the Garden Tomb, one group was singing in French, and I knew the song. I didn't know the words in French, but I knew what they were singing: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And they were singing in French. And I walked past another group that was busy doing the Mass in German. And I walked past another group that was singing a praise song in Spanish. And it was one of the most beautiful moments for me in my journey to Israel, because for me it brought home the day of Pentecost and the reality that God is uniting tribes of people, different groups of people of many languages that live in many different places, that have many different convictions, and he's bringing them together under the power of the Holy Spirit and in the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. The most beautiful sounds I heard in Israel were these tongues. These many different languages of different brothers and sisters that I just passed by for a moment. But they invited me into their wonderful, wonderful worship. Do you have a vision for the Spirit's power in your life in this moment? And will you yield to that power of the Spirit in your life and ask for that in the world in which we live right now? You know, right now, there's another power at work in our cities, in our country. You know, this week in Pentecost, we're celebrating the fire of God coming down. And yet, if you watched any TV or heard any media over the past few days, what's red right now is our cities. They're burning to the ground, a number of them. And people are protesting and upset about the death of Mr. Floyd, which is understandable. What's not understandable is destroying their cities over it. I don't know if you knew this about Mr. Floyd, but actually he's a believer. He's committed to Christ. He doesn't even live in Minnesota. I think he was just there for a short time. He was going to be going back to Texas and very much was committed to the inner city and rebuilding the inner city and rebuilding the neighborhood. So he's in glory right now, and he's aghast about what's going on in the cities. It's the exact opposite of where his heart was. And again, we understand what a waste, what a horrible thing that was done to him. Completely unjustified. But what also is unjustified is the burning of these cities, people losing their businesses and their homes. Completely unjustified. What we're seeing playing out right now in our world and in our country is how the world does things. It says in the scripture that Satan has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And you're seeing it in living color right now. And I just want to submit to you, that is not what the kingdom of God is about. That is not how we're to live. That is not how we're to work toward reconciliation by creating greater division and distrust between one another. This is only going to stoke the fuel of hatred. You are of a different kingdom. So when the fire of God comes down, it's not going to be about burning up cities and burning up homes and burning up businesses and rioting and causing division. When the fire of God comes down, when the Holy Spirit truly comes upon you and me, the Holy Spirit is going to come with power. The Holy Spirit is going to come with a fire that builds you up and builds us up, that brings a spirit of reconciliation and healing. Obviously, from this event that occurred just a few days ago, we still have some issues with race in this country. And this is an issue, again, we're in a year of shaking. I talked about this year being the year of double portion, and I shared with you at the very beginning as we entered into this quarantine time, this time of sheltering down, I heard the word about the double portion of blessings. I didn't hear the part about the double portion of trials, but it became very clear to me that that's what was going on very soon and for all of us. So as we continue in this time of trials, we continue in this time of shaking, I believe God is allowing us to see very clearly what our world is about, or at least what the agenda is of some people in our world. And they're about looting, they're about rioting, they're about division, they're about hatred, they're about destroying. That's what they're about. You know, again, I'm not making this up. You just have to step back and take a look at the fruits. That's all you got to do. This is not complicated. You don't need to make excuses for what's going on. You need to take a step back and look at the fruits of what's going on and answer the question, do I want to be a part of that vision of the world? That is not God's vision of the world. God's vision through his people is to bring healing and reconciliation like he was doing through Mr. Floyd before he was so wrongly killed. God was using him to bring healing and reconciliation in Texas in the inner city, and building that place up. And I'm praying that ultimately God will use his death to bring that about in a way that is greater and more. And so you and I need to be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us in this moment. And so what do we do? Well, part of what we do is pray, but part of what we do as well is when we're communicating with one another and when we're speaking to one another and when we're using our language, we need to begin to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to begin to talk about the fire of God. We need to talk about the fire of God that can bring healing and reconciliation into this moment, that not only will begin to put out the fires that are literally occurring, but obviously the fires of hatred and division that are still in the hearts of some just because you have a different color skin. I mean, really, after all this time, we're still killing people over that. Will we ever learn? So again, this shaking, this bringing down of our idols, this, I'm believing, God, a judgment of racism in this moment. God is speaking to us very clearly. This is how the world handles it. I have a different vision for you. And the vision is Pentecost. People from all kinds of different tribes, all kinds of different languages, from all over the place, all different kinds of skin color, coming together in the baptism and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, hearing the mysteries and glories of God and being proclaimed and being powerfully touched. If you read the rest of the story, later on, Peter proclaims the gospel and 3,000 people come to Jesus Christ. That is the Lord's vision. People coming to him, being reconciled in Jesus. There's neither slave nor free, Jew nor Greek, but one people in Christ. That's the Lord's vision. And that's the vision I'm going to be a part of. That's where I'm going to be. And you need to make a choice. We're living in a time of choice. Some of you are saying, well, I'm just kind of going to, maybe is not an answer. It's either light or dark. It's either God or Satan. That is the choice. And it's becoming even more stark right now. But that's what this year is about, whether you like it or not. It's about the stark reality of the world's way and what the kingdom of God can be. We need to be open to the tug of the Holy Spirit in this moment and the movement of the Spirit. You and I need to be praying into what's going on right now and praying that the Holy Spirit would put out the fires of hatred and division in this world and birth through us the spirit of reconciliation. That's what this cross is all about, reconciling the world to God. That's where it's going to begin. It's not going to begin in any town hall meetings. It's not going to be a kumbaya moment. It's not going to happen. They've done all that. It obviously hasn't worked. The reconciliation is going to begin at the cross with repentance and revival. So we need to embrace that, finally, and be open to the tug of the Holy Spirit moving us in this moment in the way that the Spirit would bring about a reconciliation. We need to pray for our black brothers and sisters. You know, a lot of black leaders across the country are saying this is completely the wrong response. I mean, their voices are united in this. We need to pray for them because that needs to come from them, especially the spiritual leaders. They need to stand up in this hour in their cities, and we need to pray for them that they would have the strength to do that and that there'd be a repentance and a revival in their cities in this moment. And we can do that as their brothers and sisters in Christ. It's no coincidence we're coming together for the first time this Pentecost weekend, and there's cities across our country burning right now. That is not a coincidence. See it. I see it. I see it as clear as day. This is a very timely moment for us. Burning? God's making it real simple. Don't miss it. In closing, when birds are migrating in flocks to other lands, and the instinct is strong upon them, if you catch one and imprison it in a cage, it will beat its breast against the bars and pant back and forth. But let the migratory season pass, and when you open the cage, the bird will not fly. You may even take it and throw it into the air, but the bird will fall back limp to the ground. The tug on that little heart is gone. For a soul, for a nation, for the world, for you and for me. There comes a time when the tug of the Holy Spirit at the heart may pass forever. The Holy Spirit is tugging at our hearts right now. The Holy Spirit is tugging us. This is our season. And you're not in a cage. You're not trapped. I'm praying God is using my words in this moment to help you to realize you're migrating, you're moving from the world to the kingdom and called to move in a new way to the place where the Spirit moves you to go, to migrate to in the kingdom of God. And so let your heart be tugged by the Holy Spirit. Let it be pulled. Let it be moved. Let God touch you in a powerful way. You know what we sang, this was totally not planned, but it was planned by God. This is our closing song today. This was planned weeks ago, before all this stuff was going down. Here are praises. I heard these words today. It's like, old Joe, here's another affirmation of what you're talking about and what's happening. Listen to these words. May our homes be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. Hello. May injustice bow to Jesus. Hello. As the people turn and pray. My gosh. May our light shine in the darkness. Yes, may it. As we walk before the cross. May your glory fill the whole earth. Hello. As the water or the seas. And then it goes on to the chorus. From the mountains to the valleys, hear our praises fill the air. This is our song in this moment. This is a divine setup. You guys have been set up today. You know what? You walked right into it. I don't know about you, but in my life, when I walk right into it, I look up to God and go, you set me up. Yeah, I did. I set you up. You've been set up. You thought, oh, I'm just going to come today. I'm looking forward to coming to church. It's going to be just another one of those Pentecost Sundays, in one ear, out at the other. Not this Pentecost Sunday. You have been set up in a big way. So smile. It's nice when God sets you up. I like it. You know, it's like, well, I really am where I belong. You're hearing the word of God today. You're hearing God's direction to you as the church in this moment. May God hear our praises. May God move in a mighty way through his people in this moment. Lord, as your people gathered in here in this place, in this sanctuary, on the web, we lift up our brothers and sisters throughout this country right now, especially where cities and homes and businesses have been burned. And they're heartbroken about this, and we are as well. And Lord, we lift them up before you right now, and we speak your mercy, and we speak your grace, and we pray for their leaders who have run away from their leadership in this hour, who have been cowards and have not stood up in this moment. And we pray for them that they would actually be given a backbone by the Spirit of God and stand up in this hour through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we especially pray for our black brothers and sisters and our black brothers and sisters who are in leadership throughout this country. And we speak blessing to them. We speak favor to them. And we pray that you would strengthen them and fill them afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit to speak your word in this hour. That they will no longer follow the ways of the world and Satan to steal, to kill, and destroy, but follow the ways of the kingdom of God, filled with the Holy Spirit's power in this moment to bring life, to bring the fire of God, to bring love and joy and peace and patience and healing and mercy and reconciliation. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, black or white or brown, but a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be reconciled. Finally, may we come truly to the cross of Jesus, because it is there that you will make us one.